Episode 85 of the TV Dudes, recorded June 8th, 2016. Grant was right.
Greg?
Yeah.
This is your penultimate.
I know we're all going to say it at the same time.
This is your penultimate, man.
So you should be worried that you don't get shot.
Wait, no, yeah, is Pelicanos writing this one?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, jeez. So, yeah, Greg is going to be heading out to California. We mentioned this the past few weeks.
Yes.
And, you know, I thought this might be also a good time to mention what we are doing.
Yes.
With the show.
There are some good people coming up.
Yeah, the show's not going away.
Nope. No, it's not.
Randy and I are going to keep on keeping on, and what we're going to do is a little bit of a, what do you want to call it, a contest?
Sort of.
Potpourri.
Like in the Seinfeld thing. Yes.
Or is it,
yes,
like, is it like Michael Strahan leaving Kelly, where you're going to have a bunch of different guest hosts until you settle?
Man, I hope it's not like Michael Strahan leaving Kelly. I thought we'd all be on good terms here.
No, maybe it's Kelly Ripa. She said fuck TV and wants to do a TV podcast.
It's an audition, I suppose.
Yes.
It's a Game of Thrones.
Oh, boy.
For our audience. We're going to bring in special guests each week.
Yep.
We already have it scheduled out for a couple months.
We're scheduled out through July, yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to bring in different guests each week. We're going to let them kind of influence whatever we're going to discuss. But it'll be fairly straightforward to the same format we usually do. Mm. And yeah, we're gonna see how that goes.
I think it'll go great.
And some of them are guests, special guests who definitely will not be regulars. They don't have the time for it.
Right.
They're doing us a favor to come on and talk TV.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them you might see more regularly. We'll see.
Yeah, some you might recognize from previously. Some are gonna be new.
You might.
Yeah, but you know.
Nice teaser.
No one will fully replace Greg.
That's true.
I guess not. I was going to be humble, say no, but no, you're right. I'm awesome. No, it's.
So we'll have to check in occasionally.
Yeah,
when you're over in California.
No. Hopefully, actually, what I want to do is hopefully somehow. I've actually got a friend of mine who's got her friends are actors out there. I think they just mainly do commercials. So we're going to meet with them and hang out with them. So my goal is to actually help get some inside scoops, or even for ATX next year, if I can't come back for it, I can say, hey, you need to go listen to this podcast. Or, I don't know, maybe I run into people at the Ringer and we kick out Chris Ryan and say, you know what? No, fuck those guys. Get us. get these guys, and I could be the California correspondent or something like that. I don't know.
Greg's got plans. Yeah, secret scoops. I'm under the trailer of Rob Schneider right now.
Guys,
still,
I got Rob Schneider. I got him.
He sucks.
I've got Rob.
Turns out, yeah, he's terrible.
No, I've got better than that. I've got Adam Sandler now.
No.
I've got Adam Sandler.
I've got the scoop on Real Rob season 2.
By the way, Netflix. Okay, you had the House of Cards people, Bo Willimon. And okay, there's quite a range there.
Yep.
Bo Willimon, Adam Sandler.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's pretty far.
I don't know.
We're going to be talking the news about some Netflix surprises.
Yeah, I know. I was like, what? But you know, they're actually smart. They're trying to be CBS and HBO at the same time.
Yeah. And one last reminder, as of when this episode goes up, we're going to be at ATX Fest this year.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. All over ATX Fest.
You know, we would actually like to say thank you. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
We usually go to our Patreon and mention that we have this thing, this website, patreon.com, where you guys can go, patreon.com/TV Dudes.
Mm-hmm.
You can donate to help us out with the show. And we would like to say, because of our wonderful patrons there, you guys who have helped us out, we were able to secure tickets for all of us to attend this year.
That's right.
Thank you.
Super excited about that.
It is amazing that people, the dedicated fans to this podcast and what they do. I mean, unsung heroes. I mean, sometimes you feel like, are we just talking amongst the three of us? You know, but But
no,
to see
our numbers are good. They keep going up.
But to see the support and stuff, it's really
great. And that's going to pay off for everybody, by the way, because I got a whole bunch of cool interviews coming up at ATX Fest.
You're going to be doing some interviews. We're going to be rubbing some shoulders with some people. We're going to even have our friend Kayla attending. We're going to have her join us for a wrap-up.
Yep, there will be a post-ATX Fest wrap-up TV dudes.
We're also hanging out with a bunch of other TV podcasters.
Yes, we are.
At a special event during this.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm excited to meet them.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely going to come back to you guys because we're going to get to, you're going to report on all this stuff. So we're going to give you the sense of what ATX Fest was like if you couldn't be there. And if you are going to be there, come say hi.
Come say hi to us. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Just come say hi. We're friendly people.
I have to admit, I'm kind of hoping for a parking lot brawl with all the TV podcasters.
You think? Sort of Anchorman style?
A little bit. That's my dream.
Who do you think's going to... You think Seth Bowles going to throw the trident?
Yeah. He's going to throw the trident.
Man.
Or who's going to lose an arm then?
Who's going to lose an arm?
I'm willing to.
That was a real cockfight. You know? That's one of the best scenes in movies ever. Sorry.
It is. It's easily one of the best scenes.
When Tim Robbins comes in as... not Tim Robbins. Yeah, Tim Robbins comes in for PBS.
Yeah.
It killed me.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are the TV Dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
And I'm Greg.
And we already head on Patreon.com. So Patreon.com/TV Dudes. Go there. We appreciate all the support. This week, we went back to talk about politics on our exclusive episode. So if you guys are patrons, you can hear that. There was a lot to talk about.
I think it was pretty fun, too.
Yeah.
Fun not, episode?
Yeah.
It was a good wrap-up episode.
Yeah.
A lot of drama this week in politics.
Yeah.
So, we shat on some people, I guess.
Mostly Trump.
We also wanted to thank... Yeah, mostly Trump. We also want to thank some new patrons we got this week. Fernando Rodriguez, Justin Zarian, and Carlos Mella. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Very appreciated.
Really, thank you very much.
Yeah, we hope you guys enjoy this week's political discussion.
And if not, you can go back and see the Patreon...
Yeah.
Civil War.
You can listen to
Deadpool. Yeah. All the other Patreon stuff.
Exactly.
And now it's time to move on to listener questions. What we got, Randy?
All right. So every week you can go on. We throw up a Facebook post, a Twitter post. You can go and ask us questions that we will then answer on the show.
Yeah. Without research.
Without any research.
We're flying blind here.
Usually without having seen the questions beforehand.
Yeah. So it's a little nerve wracking.
So it's basically like a Trump pep rally. We just talk off the cuff the whole time.
Hopefully it goes better than those.
And insult minorities.
All right. Jonathan Hadmichael says, "Hi, dudes. What TV movies do you guys think need better recognition? HBO has a number of original movies I feel like people just don't know about, like Confirmation."
Hmm.
I don't even know about Confirmation.
I don't know it was one of those movies.
I watched it.
It was okay.
Was it okay?
I mean, it was stilted. The acting was good, but HBO movies are hit and miss.
I think the last one I actually watched in life was Going Clear, which was basically an extended Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Not Going Clear.
No.
Going Clear was Scientology. It's very different.
That's a documentary, which is very good, by the way.
Clear History.
Oh, the one with...
Clear History?
Clear History.
Yeah.
Clear and Present History.
Clear and Present History.
No, but that was the one with John Hamm playing Larry
Hamm
Davis.
And
J.B. Smooth were in it. Let's see. Last HBO movie.
Game Change was fun.
Game Change was really good.
People love Temple Grandin. I don't tend to watch it. People love Behind the Candelabra.
That was really good.
Steven Soderbergh.
That was great.
For whatever reason, none of these ever grabbed me. I kind of want to watch the LBJ one with...
that was great, too. Because that's off the play.
Yeah, because that looked interesting.
Bryan Cranston. That dude.
Cranston playing LBJ.
That dude can act, man. Yeah. And the whole process of what was going on with the civil rights movement or civil rights bill and stuff was great. That was really, really good.
Okay.
I gotta agree. I never really warm up to these. There's a few like that. What was that one with Frasier and Cary Elwes about the Bradley tank? I really loved that one, except I don't remember the name of the movie. Mm-hmm. It was like 5-10 years back, though.
I love the idea that it's not Kelsey Grammer, but actually Frasier.
Yeah, I remember his name. No. You know, Frasier and Princess Bride,
Frasier and the Stable Boy.
But HBO...
Frasier and the Dread Pirate Roberts just drive a tank. That's what I'm getting from this.
But
now I want to watch it.
I don't think anybody else really does these.
Does ABC Showtime? Family, Lifetime does a bunch,
gosh.
That one? Will Ferrell did one, and I think James Franco did one.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
didn't want to watch those either.
No. But HBO is the only one that really, I think, does the I guess, the TV movie, quote unquote.
What about Netflix? Netflix is starting to release movies. Does that count?
I didn't see Beasts of No Nation.
I haven't seen it yet. I heard it was good.
It's a good cast. It's Cary Fukunaga. I mean, just didn't click. I'm not a movie guy as much as I'm a TV guy.
You need to watch that new one with Adam Sandler and David Spade.
No.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Randy.
No.
We need the review.
No. Here's my review.
No. No. Just don't do it.
All right. Well,
all right. Next question.
Yeah.
Ryan Timothy Brace says, what is y'all's favorite personification of death in TV/film/literature? From the classic Grim Reaper to Gaiman's upbeat goth girl to baby-faced Robert Redford from a Twilight Zone episode, if you're curious. Mm. Which version of the many-faced god do you hope greets you at your end?
Oh.
I know mine.
Yeah?
It's from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
I was going to make that reference.
Fucking love that one.
That guy's great.
I love because he's comedic. He's trying to be a
stiff, but he can't.
Yeah, stiff, but
he's based on Ingmar Bergman's death, which is what's hilarious.
Really?
He's based on Ingmar Bergman's death, who is the guy who plays chess against people and all that. I forget the name of the movie, but it's a classic Bergman film.
That's right.
And they were riffing on that, and that just kills me.
Man, I've not seen it. I never saw that movie. I never saw the second one. So
it was good.
Louis Cypher from Angel Heart.
Oh, you don't want that guy? You don't get that greeting you? I mean, he's great representation.
Two questions. He was a good one. Again with De Niro.
Yeah.
The Smoke Monster, Tyrus Welliver. He's a little bit of a representation.
Yes,
he
was.
What about
Joe
Black?
Never saw it.
No one likes Brad Joe Pitt. Black.
But I like Brad Pitt, though. I wouldn't mind Brad Pitt greeting me at death. I don't know.
Naming people that have played death.
Yeah,
that's something. I don't know.
I'm trying to think.
I can't remember any particular. I mean, he mentions Neil Gaiman's death, and I feel like there's a reason that character's so popular.
Right.
The death from Family Guy is usually pretty funny.
Yeah,
too.
That's true. The Norm MacDonald death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that one.
That'd be okay too. I feel like he'd be pretty chill.
Yeah.
He'd be like, hey, you're dead now. You gotta come with me. Actually, how about the Reapers from the Brian Fuller show, Dead Like Me?
Dead like me.
Yeah. I want the woman.
Mandy Patinkin.
Mandy Patinkin would be good. But also the woman who was the parking lot meter.
Yeah.
She'd be a nightmare because she was just such a pain in the ass, but she was also I love that guy.
Right. That's a good question.
All right, moving on. Kyle Volte says, hey, TV dudes, what are you watching these days that might shock or surprise your loyal viewers? Porn. Just a lot of porn. So
Randy's watching a lot
of
porn.
They said shock.
Oh. I watch Randy watching porn.
That is shocking.
That is shocking.
Because I didn't know that till right now.
You shouldn't leave the window.
I'm shocked and surprised. You know what? Don't tell me how to watch my porn.
Don't tell me how to watch my Randy.
Oh my gosh! This is
well, that went off the rails fast. No, the answer is I don't know that I don't even have like guilty pleasure. Like I can't even say I watch So You Think You Can Dance because they change it to like 8 to 13-year-olds and it's,
yeah.
Someone made the joke. It's like So You Think You Can Push Your Kid Into Show Business?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like it ruined what I liked about the show. And like you know, we're unabashed fans of Top Chef. Greg has often talked about his love for HGTV.
HGTV, American Ninja Warrior, which yeah, I love that show.
Like, what surprise? I love Project Runway. I fucking love that show.
Greg
I
has
do
often
too.
Talked about his love for Peppa Pig.
Oh, yeah. I watch a lot of kids' cartoons.
Yeah.
And Peppa Pig, Teletubbies just made its comeback. And my youngest is captivated by it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She just has all the bright colors, and it's really simple. I'm like, man,
my son just discovered Animaniacs.
Oh, boy.
And that's great.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I tried to show that to him earlier, and he thought it was funny, but now he, like, is barreling through them on Netflix. So, yeah, I don't know. I know what might shock you guys is that sometimes I'll watch what my daughter is watching.
Yeah.
So I've watched NCIS.
Okay,
that might shock you guys. I don't do procedural TV,
but every once in a while, I was on a Hawaii 5-0 kick one time because I was too lazy, literally, to change the channel from TBS or something or TNT. It's like, what is this show about? Like every once in a while, I try to check out that or Suits or any of those other shows that
pleasant
I never,
white noise.
Yeah, I just never watch.
The truth is, we don't have any shame, so there's nothing we keep secret.
No,
that's true.
I watched the
apparently nothing. I didn't know. I didn't know I wasn't keeping secrets from Grant, but apparently I wasn't.
I mean, I watch all the real estate shows. I don't watch the Bravo, like, you know, the Housewife shows. I hate those things. But, like, the Million Dollar Real Estate LA in New York, I love those shows. Frederick Eklund and all those guys. I know all those guys. We watch it so much. We watch it so much that we're like literally talk like negotiating $1 million houses. Like, no, you know that wouldn't be $9 million. You got to be at least $11 million. That's a bad negotiation. Like, we actually have money that can actually afford a house like that.
Well, I guess what is a little shocking is the porn that Randy watches is Rob Schneider porn.
Do you find that shocking? Because he makes the highest quality.
Pouring milk over his body over and over. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, what Johnny keeps sending me those links.
You guys just share porn?
That's so nasty. Weird.
All right. Final question this week. And this I love this question. Zach McLernan says, and this is a spoiler for the Americans if you haven't been watching the season.
Oh, wait. Not tonight.
Though. Not tonight.
Okay, good.
Just a general one.
Right.
Why is it that Pastor Tim hasn't turned over Philip and Elizabeth? I know the answer to this question.
Fear?
No.
He's a socialist.
He's a socialist.
Yeah.
They have pointed out to us that Tim, they introduced Pastor Tim as this guy who protests at nuclear bases, gets arrested. Right. He is the left, he's very super left leaning in 1980s America. And also, he's a pacifist.
And he went to, funny enough, kind of bringing it back to politics a little bit, and this is one of the things that people don't realize about Bernie Sanders, is that he was very leftist. And back in the 80s, what people don't remember is like a lot of those Central American regimes were socialist, communist, and those, and he was kind of they're actually doing it right. Which
he actually helped out Russian spies,
right?
Yeah. In the American.
Well, I know about that, Bernie. but
he's going to be in the finale, right?
Yeah,
that was the last push.
That would be so funny.
I think the thing is that Pastor Tim. I mean, for one thing, he likes Paige. He doesn't want to turn her life upside down,
right?
And I think that he, as long as he can justify to himself that they aren't doing anything violent,
right?
They've managed to convince them they're not. He would see turning them over as like him helping the aggression of the U.S. government.
Right.
It would be him taking what's essentially a military action to some extent. So I think it's all about, you got to see who Pastor Tim is beyond just being a guy who knows who they are.
That's,
for anyone who doesn't watch The Americans, watch The Americans.
Watch The Americans.
It's so good.
Yes.
And that last episode 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Just, you know, again, there's I used to think that maybe Brother Mazzone was, or Marlo was the most fierce, or no, Chris Partlow was like the most, the person I would not want to see in the alley.
But now it's Elizabeth Jennings.
That's a Wire reference.
That woman can take out anybody. I think she can take out Jack Bauer. She has no fear. That woman does not, she is so, Carrie Russell, why this woman does not get an Emmy?
Or I love that nominated. She turns on a dime and her eyes get
so she just gets like creepy and just has these skills that scare Philip, scared everybody.
I'd watch that show, by the way, Elizabeth Jennings versus Jack Bauer. I'd watch that season of 24.
I know, I saw your porn.
So it's time for the news, guys, and it's a somewhat light news week.
Yeah,
but I want to talk about Fuller House.
Oh, okay.
this is an interesting one.
Let's talk Fuller House.
Right.
So here's the interesting
thing. People have been wanting us to talk about Fuller House.
They have, as much as they. I mean, it's always in the PS of the questions. Hey, Randy, when are you going to get back to Real Rob and do your Real Rob's focused podcast?
Yeah.
PS. Talk more about Fuller House.
More.
People, we got you covered. No. So Fuller House, we don't know a lot about Netflix ratings, but according to the site Symphony AM Video Pulse.
Is that the link I sent you?
Yes.
No. Like a whole bunch of sites are reporting on this.
Yeah, but this is the site. This is the data. That's where the data comes
from.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So the spinoff, Fuller House, averaged 14.4 million viewers in the advertiser-friendly 18 to 49 demographic in the first 35 days after its release. To put that in context, that puts it up with The Walking Dead and Sunday Night Football.
That's fucking nuts.
That's crazy.
That
Fuller House.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That is insane.
That's shocking.
And before you slit your wrist and think, oh my God, nobody watches good TV, Making a Murderer was 13.4 million viewers in the 35 million.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
So Netflix, you know how a lot of the, even guys I like, I think John Landgraf, some of the people in network have been sort of down-talking Netflix, like, hey, you know what the ratings are. You know, it doesn't matter what they do. They might be right to be afraid, because clearly Netflix is getting it done.
Yeah.
I need my Step-by-Step and Family Matters spinoffs or revivals.
Crossover. Step-by-Step, Family Matters,
oh
crossover.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, they're all in the same neighborhood.
Yes, they're all in the same neighborhood.
Not really.
Yeah. yeah, so yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Wow.
All right. Speaking of kind of crazy, Nashville, you might remember the show.
Yes.
From ABC, right?
Yeah.
Has been rescued by the CMT. Well, for those who don't know, that's the Country Music Channel.
Television.
Country Music Television, yes.
Country Music Channel would be CMC. But I'm saying, it's the channel Music Channel.
You are correct.
Yes.
Ish.
This is not shocking. I mean, it's gone total soap opera.
It makes sense. It's totally on brand.
Like, it's so funny because I stopped watching it after, like, season two.
Yeah.
But because it comes on, like, right after Black-ish.
Yeah.
So I always see like the first 5 minutes, like the recap on my DVR, and I know exactly what's going on still. I mean, it's just like, because it's so shallow, all the weird turns and twists, but it makes it's easy to follow, but I just can't get into those characters anymore. And I mean, as much as I love Connie Britton.
So here's my question.
Yeah.
Does this mean Connie Britton was not rescued and is still going to be on
yes.
this show?
Yes. The show is her baby. It is her baby.
Is she like one of the producers or whatever?
It's her baby.
I feel so bad.
She was one by, I think maybe because she wanted to sing. I don't know. But
maybe she can get out of it and just still make money off of being a producer.
Yeah.
Like kill her character off. Whatever.
No. She actually has one of the premier spots for an actress her age now. That's a big deal, you know, which is terrible to say,
well,
but
we don't know anything about whether or not the cast is going to make it over, but
I think the cast will go because they don't have any other jobs.
there is one more bit of news in this post that Grant found for us, which is
Showtime
recently renewed Homeland for 3 more seasons. 3 more.
I didn't think it was noteworthy because what's wrong with it?
You know what's funny is that.
Do you know how many more seasons it's gotten in Terriers?
7.
Yeah.
Or 6. What's interesting is as we move, I am considering. I'm not going to ever cut the cord. I realize that. But I am going to pare down because I realize there's a shitload of channels I don't watch.
You will cut the cord.
You'll cut the cord.
Not sports.
Five years coming.
Sports. I will never do it.
You won't need the cord for it.
That's right.
But not only that, actually, well, it's just ease. Like tonight, if we wanted to watch.
You're going to be on Apple TV and it's going to have a sports thing.
Well, also, you live right near the Staples Center. Just go watch sports there.
I will.
That's
right.
How it works, right?
Yeah, you're right. But
watch whatever sports you want.
But,
all sports.
But
all
the thing is.
The Staples Center.
But what I was considering is like, I'll always keep HBO. But I was thinking about Showtime, and I was like, okay, or like Cinemax, because unless the Nick comes back, and I'll probably just download the Nick, I probably won't get Cinemax again because I don't watch it. But Showtime, I actually watch all their damn shows, and I think I'll probably end up still keeping Showtime. Movie Channel, I don't know how they have the packages, because I'm probably going to switch to Time Warner, because just I'm getting tired of AT&T. But it's like Showtime and HBO are the ones that I'm like, okay, I really watch most of their programming, if not all of it. No, and I just like having it on my TV without having to go to Apple TV and having a DVR to find shit. But
5 years, Greg.
Five years.
All right, one last bit of news.
Yeah.
This is exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Superman is officially coming to Supergirl. He's going to be on the first 2 episodes of season 2, at least.
That's pretty badass.
Who plays him?
We don't know yet.
Oh.
Tom Welling.
Tom Welling is the obvious choice. I'm not a huge Tom Welling fan. I don't know how great of an actor
he is.
He
needs the work.
But he needs the work. And he's in their budget range.
But why wouldn't...
He's not that great an actor? Look at the rest of them.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. Melissa Benoist is a good actress.
But wait a second. Why wouldn't Why wouldn't they bring down Henry, whatever his name is?
Henry Cavill?
Yeah.
Because
that dude's busy.
And they don't want anything to do with it.
No, but he's not...
And they want to keep the Superman movie and TV guys
separate. Because he's not like... It's not like bringing down like Christian Bale or something. I mean, he's not that big of a star.
No, but he's a movie guy. That's not going to happen. This is a CW show, Greg.
It still would be interesting.
Bringing Henry Cavill.
Yeah, I guess so. It just would, but it just wouldn't.
They don't even have the wide lens for those pets.
No, they don't.
He is a big man. Yeah, I watched that man from Uncle.
Push-ups.
Yeah, that dude's got something going on. But yeah,
My outside, somebody on my Facebook posted this, and I can't give credit because I don't remember who it was. Mm-hmm. So if it's someone listening, I apologize for stealing your idea. But Matt Bomer from White Collar, he could do Superman.
Yeah. Bring in Brandon Routh.
No, they can't because he's the Atom.
Okay. Yeah. Good call.
Here's my crazy outside that would never happen. John Hamm. I want John Hamm to be Superman.
Dude, just get out.
I want John Hamm to be Superman.
Wait,
that's never gonna happen.
No, I don't mean on the show.
What? You just want
him. I want John Hamm to be Superman.
But wait a second. This is another news thing I saw. Did you see the thing about the live action like Archer that they?
Yes, they
for?
Want John Hamm to be Archer.
Which would be perfect. Did you guys see
cool.
that?
Yeah.
Because you can't have John H. Benjamin.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
He looks like John H. Benjamin.
No, nope, they've done that bit. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, geez.
But yeah. All right, that's all the news we got this week.
Wondering about the title, Grant is right. I was right about a prediction in Game of Thrones.
Yep.
So we're going to have to be talking about Game of Thrones.
We will be talking about Game of Thrones.
I know we don't really want to.
You were spot on. Spot on.
Yeah. On rare occasion, I make a correct prediction. I think it's just the law of averages. But we're also going to be talking about Humans and Preacher. Humans is over on Amazon, correct?
It is on Amazon Prime. It's a,
it was on AMC.
It was on
last
AMC.
Year.
It's a Channel 4 UK production.
So. Oh, that's why it sounded familiar. Okay, well, let's talk about that first.
All right, so it just showed up on Amazon Prime. I've been waiting for this to come on because Greg watched it when it was on.
It was great.
And really liked it. And I watched the first episode and had it on my, pin in it to go watch whenever it showed up on streaming, which it did. It's an 8-episode series, hour long. It's a drama. The basic pitch is it's a world like our own, slightly futuristic, but like pretty much like our own, where there are companion robots that have been invented.
Right.
So they are used for a variety
sex
of things.
Robots?
Sex robots.
Well,
is definitely a thing.
Sort of, but you have to like unlock it for that.
It's weird. They treat it kind of like Apple technology.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a chastity belt thing.
It comes with codes for 18, and you have to unlock it, so that your kids don't go and fuck your sex robot.
Morty.
The son really wanted to. He was all pissed off.
That's how you make gazorpazorps.
Yeah.
So it sort of starts with this family that the mom works a lot, the dad brings in this beautiful robot
that
to be
just
there.
Fucks robots all day.
just fucks robots all day. He brings in this beautiful robot who is their first robot as a family to be sort of like help out with the cooking and cleaning. The mom feels kind of threatened.
Right.
And this robot acts a little weird. There's a little something off about her. And at the same time, we're checking in on John Hurt playing an older scientist guy who has a
broken down
young man robot who's sort of breaking down, who he clearly is has an affection for. That he's not like a son, but someone who's been like a family friend for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. But
and he was clearly a scientist who worked on the robot program.
And one of the things is that they have to replace them, and so they have older robots. You're supposed to recycle them, and he doesn't. So he keeps hiding it because he doesn't want to recycle the kid.
Yeah. And then there's a cop who works in the sort of robot affairs division.
Yeah.
Dealing with whatever robot crimes there are, which the robots aren't committing the crime. It's sort of crimes against robots, more than anything else.
Right.
And then there's a guy working for the Sinister Organization who's tracking down these clearly
rogue,
artificially intelligent robots.
Right.
There's looks like maybe four of them.
Blade Runners?
They're no Blade Runners.
No.
Sorry.
Okay.
There's no Blade Runners. But all of these plots come together in a pretty satisfying way. I thought that they did a nice job of sort of addressing what would society look like if you had... There's a human rights movement that's talking about basically that these robots are taking away not only jobs, but ambition. Like,
right.
If robots do everything, then what are humans doing?
Right.
There's sort of the daughter sort of hacking the robots a little bit for fun.
Yeah. And then you have the robots kind of like in hiding because the cop's partner, you don't realize until later on that she's a robot and he's like falling in love with her or whatever. And there's some big,
everything ties together in an almost implausible way. Like, wait a minute, how come all this stuff was related? But it's solid enough that I enjoyed the stuff coming together really well.
It brought in a lot of elements because basically there was one robot. This is what always happens. There's some scientist who needs to give robots soul or whatever the artificial intelligence was. But then maybe, I can't remember, did that the guy who's hunting them down, was it like they wanted to use it for some other reason, or it just, they was hunting them down just because they had that...
He saw them as sort of a danger, I think. Yeah. Like a potential danger.
And which they are. Like the one, the robot who works as a sex robot.
She becomes kind of a killer robot.
She gets insane. She's like the diehard. She's the one who doesn't take any shit from anybody.
And I love that character, actually.
Oh, she is great.
I liked all the characters. I liked all the storylines. I liked...
Even the kid who's like the scientist's son.
Yeah.
Who was raised with those robots.
Yeah.
And then he's got one on the run where they're looking for all his quote-unquote brothers and sisters. Yeah. That was really cool, too.
Yeah. There's a lot of good reveals. There's a lot of sort of good tension. I was really pleased with this. I like this a lot. And it's not super heavy on the special effects, but what they do well.
Yeah, you know what? That actually is one of those things about the show that I really enjoyed, is that they really took emotional elements with it, with building the story and the characters that you knew they were robots. The actors are really good playing the robots as far as like with their movements and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, they didn't have any real, like, you know, you always like you press some button and something pops out. So you could implant something in them. But other than that, it was really realistic.
Yeah.
And kind of creepy.
It's definitely worth a look. And season 2 is coming out. It's going to hit the UK 2016 and US sometime in 2017 and probably Amazon Prime in 2018. And
right.
Carrie-Anne Moss is in season 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
So yes. It's related to Marvel.
It's related to Marvel, and it's also a Matrix prequel.
Because she's every character she plays.
Also, weirdly tied into that movie Guy Pearce is in where he can't remember anything.
Yeah.
Oh, Memento?
Yeah, he's also Memento. It's also Memento.
She's
prequel.
Like the female Detective Munch.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a female. You know, she ties everything together.
It's very funny. She doesn't get a lot of roles, but the roles she gets are very memorable.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Preacher, because we, you know, after a week delay, we finally got the second episode.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, we had certain expectations for how the first one was going to play out, because we had other people's word of mouth.
Yeah.
But we weren't sure if it was going to be able to maintain that certain energy. Yeah. And it's obviously diverging from the comics.
Yeah, a lot.
So what'd you think of the second episode?
I really liked the second episode. What'd you think?
I liked it as well.
Yeah. That if for nothing else... If everything else had been terrible, and it wasn't, but if everything else had been terrible, I would have loved it if only for that scene in the church with the chainsaw and the two maniacs.
Yes!
It was so great.
It seemed very, like, Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Obviously the chainsaw.
The chainsaw chasing down Jesse.
Yeah.
I don't think chainsaws actually worked that way, but I don't care because it was hilarious.
That was pure Sam Raimi.
Yeah, that was so good.
It just seemed at least a nod.
Cassidy is... Tulip is still my favorite character.
Right.
When she goes in and sort of tempts Jesse.
Yeah.
I love that. I love the sort of playful sense of humor that she has.
She put a chain on, but it's not actually attached to anything. Yes. So she just has to deal with the pain in the ass.
And then, but Cassidy is close, because their Cassidy is just great.
The two guys, the Germans, I guess.
They're
part of the cult, the religious cult that are going after Jesse.
Yeah.
I thought it was fascinating watching their process where they're like reciting this folk poem and turning that little box. And that was like their first attempt.
Here's the question. Are those the German guys? Are they the Grail? Because I thought they were, but then they had a kind of permanent encounter with a chainsaw and then showed up fine later. So I think that might be the angels who are looking for Genesis.
Hmm. Oh, they're angels?
I think that might be the angels looking for Genesis.
Okay, because I was like, how do they show up? There's something obviously supernatural going on.
Well, because I thought maybe it was like a flashback, like, oh, okay, this is how they end, and then they're going back. But no, clearly they just kind of regenerate. And I think they might be the two angels who are looking for Genesis, which is a big divergence from the comic, but is one that I welcome.
Hmm. Their names are Fior and DeBlanc.
I'm pretty sure those are angels.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I could be wrong.
Well, one thing I thought was interesting is, you know, the tall guy, the actor's name is Tom Brooke, and he looks kind of familiar. But the other guy with a beard, do you know who that is?
No.
Anatol Yusuf. He played Meyer Lansky in Boardwalk Empire.
Okay,
that's
all right.
That's why he's so familiar. Yeah. I can look at him, but he has a beard now. And I was like, something a little bit different there. Yeah, and we got to see Jackie Earle Haley pop up. It wasn't like a big scene, but it was kind of brief. But he's menacing.
I was great, because that's a character that I was really excited to see how they're going to do him. And yeah, I forgot Jackie Earle Haley was playing him, so that looks really, really good.
Yeah, he's not playing all the super weird quirks and anything yet.
No.
But the menace was certainly there.
Yeah.
And I like that they've kept whoever is the bad guy who he got beat up in the bar and got his arm broken.
Yeah, yeah.
As his henchman. And he just continues being this threat.
Well, and did they... that guy is, in the comics, a very notable character. He's very over the top, and I thought Jackie Earle Haley played him a little more subdued, and I thought that fits in with what
Jackie
the show is.
Oh, Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah,
I thought you meant the other guy.
Oh, who are you talking about? Are you talking about Quinn Cannon, or are you talking about the Saint?
Quinn Cannon's sidekick.
Yeah. No, who's playing Quinn Cannon? That's Jackie Earle Haley, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Because in the comics, that guy is such a... I mean, this is what Preacher the comic is versus Preacher the TV show. He is very over the top. He's like a really tiny, short guy. He's real blustery. And I like the more sort of quiet menace that Jackie Earle Haley gave him. But the other character that showed up...
But I wouldn't be surprised if we also see a little bit of that.
The other character that showed up in the beginning is the Saint.
Yeah.
And that looks really good.
The killer of saints or whatever.
The Saint of Killers.
Saint of Killers.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird because they show that scene, but they don't give it any context to like what else is going on.
Nope.
Like, how's that fit in?
Yeah.
And that's one of those things about this show that I'm appreciating, that they're not holding us by the hand.
No.
They're just going with the story, and you pay attention, and you are going to have to piece things together yourself.
That is definitely, I think that's the right ethos, and that's what they're doing is, here's the story. If you're not interested, you should go ahead and go now. But if you're interested, we're going to give you some good stuff.
But if anyone was unclear about him having the word of God, the power.
Yeah, they make that very
clear.
Right?
They make it clear at the end that he's now figuring it out, and it makes sense, that shouldn't linger too long.
Yeah,
He figures, whoa, I can do this.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see if that kind of propels him to take more advantage, I guess.
There's also just a great scene between Cassidy and Jesse in the church where they're both like drinking and they just sort of get to yelling at each other a little bit about their point of view. And that is so very much like the comics. It's not out of the comics, but it feels like the same kind of thing with the two of them.
Yeah.
Sort of butted heads, but you could tell that they were buddies and they were sort of kindred souls.
Yeah, but Jesse's also kind of a little bit of a dick.
Kind of, a little bit.
Yeah. I loved it.
I loved it too. I'm really enjoying this show.
But I can imagine it's off-putting to other people. I'm not sure if it's going to be, but I can imagine, it'd be interesting to get your thoughts, Greg.
I haven't seen this episode. I actually forgot it was on because I got tricked out by last week with the repeat. I'll watch it because it's interesting. And I think sometimes, I just want to watch something that... is outside of what I normally watch.
Watch for that church scene.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I do like, kind of unbridled violence, so it's okay.
Yeah, there's that.
it was Tarantino-esque.
Yes.
All right, well, let's move on to Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go into spoilers here.
Big spoilers.
That happens every week.
Yep.
I think we just kind of spoil everything now that we discuss it.
Yes.
And we give a little...
I was going to say just congratulations, because Grant was so... first of all, the way it opened, it was so jarring because
do a cold open.
Right, I was like, what the hell? Yeah. And then as soon as, the pants down the beautiful hillside and we see Ian McShane, I'm like, God damn it, don't tell me. And I actually messaged you guys like, I think I did okay without spoiling it by saying Grant was 100% right. Did you see it?
No, but I'm glad I didn't check that message because I would have been pissed at you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I figured you said something and I was like, I gotta wait because I'm still putting the kid to bed.
Yeah, but it was just like, holy shit, he's right. And then, you know, the Ian McShane comes in and then they show the Hound, you know, coming back from the dead. And the episode was
called Broken Man. I figured it was going to be the Hound.
But what was interesting about it is that he just kind of explained it away, you know, which again shows that Game of Thrones is getting tighter instead of like showing him, you know, doing a whole episode of Ian McShane finding him and rehabilitating him. Right, they can say, yes, well, remember when I found you and it kind of took it away in like three lines.
Yeah.
It's because basically after a while, you're like, okay, he's back. I want to see him kick some ass or be the voice of ass-kicking reasoning when everybody else is being a pacifist, which we got right away, which is cool.
I'm not fully sure about what I said on mic last week or what I said off mic, because the part about Ian McShane being the church mentor, I might have said to you after.
I thought you said on mic. No, you said that he'd show up.
I said I thought he'd show up, and I think I know who it'd be, but I don't think I said...
I thought that you said that on mic.
I don't think I said the specifics until after.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
either way, you're right. You called it exactly.
I was fucking right.
You're right, and I was 100% wrong, because I was sure that guy was dead.
Right.
Well, let's talk about that scene, then. Let's talk about the Hound being back.
Yes.
Yep.
The speculation is that we're going to see the Mountain fight the Hound then.
Well,
I mean, at some point, and people are, online, they're rooting for it. They're calling it Clegane Bowl. it's a big thing online. It's called Clegane Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, a lot of people are thinking that it would fall with Cersei, obviously, is going to choose the Mountain to do trial by combat.
Right.
But
if
the Hound's in any way still tied to the Seven and that religious order.
Yeah,
that's right.
True. That he might be their representative. I'm not so sure anymore because at the end of the episode, his entire clan dies and he picks up an axe to just go on revenge.
How cool was that?
Go murder the Brotherhood. The Brotherhood. But
but that was very, I mean, I don't know. It was kind of cliche and it was very, very like Steven Seagal 80s like vengeance movie thing, but I still loved it.
It was an awesome shot.
The music just picking it up. He's focusing on Ash. He brings his big ass hand and grabs the ass and just boom goes to black with like the dramatic music. I'm like, yes, can't wait to see
that's
the ass kicking.
80s action.
No, don't you remember? Always
that's
like
perfect.
Yeah, the revenge scene or you know the guy's like, I'm gonna get you, motherfuckers, or whatever it is. You know, it was awesome.
I thought that Ian McShane, by the way, his version of a religious man is not a zealot.
Yeah.
Of course, that guy's not going to last long in Westeros because we know that doesn't happen. You've got to be a little crazy in Westeros to live.
Did you like his performance?
I did. I liked his performance.
I didn't.
Did you not?
Why didn't you like it?
Did you want him to say cocksucker more? Because we do all want that.
Yes. But it seemed like his accent was a little bit weird and forced for him. It seemed like he was saying some words that just sounded a little bit weird for Ian McShane. Maybe it's because I'm so familiar with Al Swearengen.
Well, but he just, I mean, he always has this weird, like, I didn't know he was English for like a while. Like, oh yeah, he's English. But then he does this kind of mismatch English-American accent thing. It's really weird.
But it also felt like a little bit of a wasted character because, you know, it's Ian McShane.
Yeah.
And you know, for him to die.
But see, actually, I disagree because I think the thing with this character is this character is there as connective tissue for the Hound story.
Right.
We don't need to introduce another character at this point. We don't need another story with this character. So he needs to come in, serve his purpose, and get out.
That was actually really...
The only way you can do that with a character is if you have someone like Ian McShane who can make an impression so quickly that we actually care about his moments, we care about his death.
Right.
And I think that's why you're bringing Ian McShane for a one
episode.
That's
a great point. Great point.
It also just kind of seemed weird because he was religious, but in a very like reasonable way.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of, he cusses, he's had this past of killing.
Yeah.
He's kind of like a manly man's warrior. At least he has that history, but now he's like a complete pacifist. I don't know. The whole thing just kind of
really
felt weird as a character for me because
I loved that character.
I thought it could have been much more.
I know religious people like this, and I like the sort of more moderate religious, because not everyone religious should be crazy.
Yeah, well,
it's a bad representation.
Yeah, and and it's usually an extreme, you know, right? Like you go from being the most hedonistic person, and then something snaps in you for whatever reason, and you go back and it makes you reevaluate stuff.
You know who he reminds me of? And this is a weird comparison, but do you remember Jerry Burns' character on Breaking Bad? The counselor who was, who was a drunk, who like ran over his baby daughter, and then was like, because he'd gone so far, he was the guy who could bring other people back.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it was. And this guy had clearly been a reaver, like as bad or worse than the Hound of the Mountain.
Right.
And he has become the sort of moderate guy who's like, no, everything's forgivable. You know, just you know, do the right thing. And in Westeros, like I say, that's never going to last you very long.
Right. Sure. I guess I just couldn't buy into the character because I just kept seeing Ian McShane.
Oh.
And he just seemed to stick out a little bit in the world where I think they do such a great job with casting that I don't notice the actor. I noticed the character.
Well, interesting. I disagree. I actually was totally into this character.
It's just like Game of Thrones is just getting tighter. They bring this special guest star, you know, like 80s TV show, special guest star Robert Urich or whatever, you know.
But okay, speaking of amazing casting, that little girl.
Oh my God,
Lyanna Mormont.
Yes,
she was so good.
Yeah,
fucking amazing, well, Lady Mormont.
You've seen the memes going on, right? If this girl had three dragons, the show would have been two seasons long.
Yeah.
I love the entire discourse. Like, every line she delivers, I'm like, fucking Ollie. What a terrible kid actor. Yeah. Right. She's so good.
Yeah, she's great. And I love that Davos can get through to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that the two of them could connect each other. Mm-hmm. I also love the arrogance of the, like, how many men do you have?
62. Yeah.
Like, but every one of them is worth 10 men of another kind, so you're like, really getting a big army.
And with her feistiness, I'm like, okay, I can see that.
Yeah, that was a great scene. Yeah.
Okay, so with that then, so Jon Snow's like, we've got enough, but then the Stark, what's her name?
Yeah, Arya.
Arya. Sansa's like, this shit ain't gonna work. Who does she send off
Knights
to?
Knights of the Vale, man.
Knights of the Vale.
She was right, and
Littlefinger gets what he wants again.
Oh boy.
And you know, she needs it.
Yes, she does.
And hopefully he doesn't betray her.
Oh, he's gonna betray her. And maybe he'll try to kill Jon Snow again or
something. Littlefinger's all about Littlefinger. Yeah. We know whatever his plan is. He's already thought the next three steps through.
Mm-hmm.
Although they should just put some armor on 1-1 and just let him wreck shop.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be great.
That's the whole thing that Hound said.
Yeah.
You know what? Put armor on him and a sword?
Yeah.
How do you beat that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I do like the, you know, he just nods, gets up, and walks off, and everybody's, well, he's gone. I guess I'm going to go, too. Okay, we're going to go.
It was interesting seeing that Jon Snow can't speak to, like, negotiate with these different northerner clans, I guess.
What is Jon Snow good at except not dying?
He's a great fighter.
Is he
a great fighter?
He's a great strategist.
He's not a great leader.
He's a great fighter. And
he is a great leader. It's just that he's an inclusive leader, which is not in a clan world of Westeros.
He's generally morally righteous.
Is he?
Yeah.
I mean, and justifiable.
Is he just Ned Stark again? Because he doesn't seem to be good at tactics, is he?
No, he's good at tactics, and he kills people when he needs to kill people.
No, the battle at the Wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was pretty good with tactics.
Okay. Oh, he was
a little bit Cyclops there. Yeah. Okay. He was calling some good shots.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
No, he's pretty good. It's just that he's just racked. I think now with the whole coming back from death thing, he's just like, what happened? What does, and he's just, I think he's just kind of like confused or just trying to get his bearings. I mean, the guy was killed, and like he says, I remember being killed, which is, you know, got to be kind of jarring coming back to life.
True, but like him sucking at negotiating, Sansa sucking, like they're neither is offering anything.
No, Sansa should suck at negotiation because she's just getting her bearings and kind of getting
that's
her.
Fair.
And she's had, and quite frankly,
but then she shouldn't call out Davos when he's like the only one getting shit done.
Well, because she's
Sansa good at.
Sansa's good at surviving.
She's actually a fucking amazing seamstress because she's put that whole thing together quickly. She's a magician.
But it's also just, it's interesting because they're
selling out. She's good at selling out. Because
the two of them are the only known Starks left.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you've got
Rickon and Bran are still out there, but nobody knows.
And Arya, obviously, but nobody knows about them. But so I think, so they want to give them, I think they're just more like mad because, you know, when they're trying to gather forces, it's like, you know, why should we back you? Every time we back you, you guys have lost, and you get in, and not only have you lost, they've come after us too. So it makes no sense for us. They're not bargaining from a position of power at all.
No,
and there's nothing they can say that makes any sense why any logical person in the North would back them.
Davos made sense.
Yeah,
look, there's White Walkers coming. Everyone's gonna die unless we also control the North and can mobilize.
Yeah, I mean, I think
that's a great argument. Yeah. Take that to the other dude too, the Glovers.
If people believe in the White Walkers, remember most people don't believe in
them. They don't believe them.
Ah, that's true.
But okay, so. The Lannisters. We get
Jamie. Jamie
and the Blackfish.
Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah, I love that.
I love the Blackfish is complete. Yeah, like, just gives no fucks.
Yeah, like, I actually also love Jamie coming in and being like, "All right, you idiots, I'm in charge."
Right.
I love Bronn. We got Bronn again.
Yeah.
Briefly,
don't fucking say it.
Yeah.
I love Bronn.
Yeah. I love when Bronn's like, stop "Okay, here's that. How you dig. Oh, this is terrible." Yeah.
Just stop saying that, will you, please, Lannister? Please, just stop it.
But, and Jamie like immediately going up to whatever the Tully prisoner's name and him being like, feed and clothe him and bathe him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that makes sense because Jamie's been in that position.
Jamie's been a prisoner
actually,
before,
right where they are, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he could kind of see, you know, the treatment, and he's like, no, I'm not going to be cool with that.
Again, it's funny because I know some people are kind of down on Game of Thrones because it's not that it's become cliche, but like you can predict some of the things that are happening. Like Jamie coming in is like every other movie that, you know, okay, the guy who really knows what the fuck they're talking about, I'm in charge. It was kind of a weird Die Hard moment, like, you know, when the guy goes, I'm in charge, and two FBI agents are like, not anymore. I always love those, like, when the real authority come in. But Jamie just, like, I just want to see Jamie unleash hell, because he's just so frustrated at everything. He's like, I'm getting banned. I'm coming out to do this thing with these fucking idiots, and this guy in the castle is being a fucking douchebag. I want to let him go, and he's not going to let him go. Him and Cersei are going to do very bad and terrible things, and I can't wait to see it.
We did get Cersei.
Oh, yes, we did.
You know what? This was an episode where we got, like, three people who know how to, like, talk some serious shit. We got little Mormont. We got, what's her name?
The Queen?
No, the Queen of Thorns, whatever her name
is. Elena.
Elena.
And then we got Bronn. And just all of them. I love that they're all just like, no, fuck you. Like,
by the way, I was wrong about some things.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
But I was right that Marjorie Tyrell is playing the High Sparrow.
Of course, yeah.
But that was an easy call.
Yeah, that was pretty easy.
But I'm glad to see it. Yeah. I was a little worried they weren't doing that.
Right.
And I'm glad to see both that she's able to let her grandmother know that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then that she's working on. I don't know what her end game is, but Marjorie Tyrell's one of my favorite characters in the show.
Of course.
So.
But, I mean, but her grandmother having that conversation with Cersei.
All of her dialogue was just so great.
But, again, I just think she's saying all these things, and I'm just like, Cersei's like, yeah, you're on my list. Don't worry, bitch. I'm getting you too. And I don't think she's gonna end up alive. I just don't, because I think I have faith.
But I don't think she cares.
I don't think she cares.
That's why she'll say whatever.
No, but I think she will care, because I think Cersei's cruel enough to kill one of her grandchildren in front of her.
That's true.
And Cersei, I am sure of a few things in this world, and Cersei's vengeance and her cruelty and how terrible she is as a person is just absolute. Jamie wavers every once in a while, but when he starts thinking
Jamie's
about Cersei,
Jamie's a good guy who's puppy dog in love with her
with his own sister. But that's weird. But whatever. But Cersei is the one person who is just cruel beyond belief all the time. You know, and she's just plays those psychological games, and she will take she can never turn the other cheek, and she never will. And that's why I can't wait to see the how badly when they attack, just how, or when she starts really unleashing the hell, how it's gonna turn out. But speaking of that, when we go to the sister and her brother, the eunuch now.
Tyrion Lannister.
Tyrion Lannister.
Not Tyrion Lannister.
No, you're talking about Theon.
Theon.
Theon. Yeah. So when Theon was like that, now Yana's trying to pull that out. of him. And
that, like, was also a pretty good scene.
That was
thought.
A great. Well, yeah.
I like that she gave him a tough talk and right. like, hey,
you say, I need you. Like, basically slapped him. I need you.
Yeah, either slit your wrist or go back to being Theon. Yeah. And we get just a glimpse of it. And it's like every week I'm really impressed with Alfie Allen, how he plays Theon.
Because he's,
yeah,
that's a tough role, and I yeah. think he does such a great job.
You know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of the kind of emotional range that. What's his face had to play that had to play with Jesse in Breaking Bad.
Aaron Paul.
Aaron Paul, like, just the cockiness
to the beaten
to the beaten dog, and then trying to bring him back. I think that's so hard to do.
Yeah,
He's really good, and I just think when he comes back with a vengeance, and I don't know if it's going to be him versus if it's going to be the showdown scene between
Ramsay.
Versus Ramsay, but I'm looking forward to it.
So here's my question. Is it Asha or Yara who's his sister?
Asha in the books, Yara on the show.
Okay,
because
Yara.
Asha sounded a lot like Osha, the wildling,
okay,
and so they wanted to eliminate confusion.
Because right. I saw somebody talking about Asha, and I'm like, wait a minute, I've been calling her Yara,
right.
And then it's like, oh, okay, you're being book snob. Stop doing that.
So
confusing me, book
so
snob.
So how?
I love her, by the way. And seeing her basically telling, like, just shut up and drink your grog, and I'm going to go have sex with this prostitute.
Nobody's going to look at an ass like that. I was like, that's great. This is cool. That was a great line.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I can't wait to see, though? We talk about Jaime. To go back to Jaime Lannister. Right. Brienne's coming. Brienne's heading to River Run.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep.
So what happens then? Because Brienne and Jaime had a thing, and she's going to be on the other side.
She's going to be courting the Blackfish.
So do you want to hear my theory?
What's your theory?
My theory, if Game of Thrones holds true to Breaking Our Hearts, I think that Brienne and Jaime have it out. Brienne is more skilled than Jaime, and he with two hands.
Yeah.
And she beats him, and she can't kill him, but he can kill her. That's what I think. That's where I think it's going.
That is heartbreaking.
I think that's the heartbreaking way, but I mean, doesn't it make sense?
Yeah,
Jaime loves Cersei more than he loves Brienne.
Of course.
And Brienne, I think, might have a pause that Jaime would take advantage of. That's my prediction.
I don't know, because she's so devoted to Sansa Stark.
Yeah, but what is
and
the
Sansa,
pattern with Brienne?
Yeah, but Sansa has every right to hate, you know, the Lannisters.
Yep.
So I just it'll be interesting to see where Brienne's loyalty lie, because she doesn't have that same hatred for the Lannisters, obviously. But is her lack of hatred for the Lannister going to trump, you know, her dedication to the Starks? I don't know. I think that's where the advantage comes in.
Well, the question
dude,
I mean,
that's so sad.
Brienne, yeah. What is Brienne's track record? Everyone she tries to protect dies. So what if the last thing she does is protect Sansa, but dies in the process?
That's good.
Or tries to protect Jaime.
Or tries to protect Jaime and dies in the process.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's where I think that's going. And I think we'll see it this season.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Well, let's move on to the last character. Arya.
Yeah, wow. Speaking of Dartbreakers.
So
I knew that was coming, and I knew it was the old lady, too.
I should have known that was coming.
I knew the old lady was
but
there.
But I wasn't prepared for
I
it.
I was prepared for it.
There's a...
As soon as she goes, little girl, like, oh, there it is.
There's a lot of interesting internet speak about this one.
Yeah,
okay.
And I don't know how comfortable you guys are with me going into that.
No, I am comfortable with
they've
it.
They've been showing how badass trained she's become.
Yeah.
So I was expecting a fight, not a murder.
But she's
which
still...
Which is why I shouldn't have been, because she was training with assassins.
Right.
They were not going to come straight at her with swords.
Right. And in many faces, she should have...
Well, she was trying to do the right thing. She was like, let's get the fuck out of here
right
fuck now.
Right.
But it still wasn't quick enough.
Right.
So Arya didn't do anything wrong, except maybe her situational awareness, to take an Archer term, was not where it should have been.
But the only thing that makes it kind of fake, too, is like, then the girl with no face, she didn't complete the job. The classic, oh, I got her.
Not only did she not complete the job, but she did what she was not supposed to do.
Right.
She was just supposed to kill her and not make it quick.
Yeah.
Right.
And instead, she goes for a gut punch.
Right.
Kill.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So
I don't want to know too. Like, my problem with internet speculation is there's so many people working on it that I feel like they can work out what the actual answer is.
Well, you already ruined Brienne for me.
But I'm really curious. So let's hear.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, these are sort of uber spoilers for people. Right. So if you don't want to hear, skip ahead a little bit.
Yeah. Right. So there's a couple different theories and speculation about Arya.
Mm-hmm.
And the first is that she is setting this up. It's uncharacteristic of Arya to go gallivanting around the merchants and sailors and throwing money around. That's too loud and braggadocious of her. Even and just like tossing money down and like strutting through to get a ship. You that's drawing
she,
attention
she
to
was
herself.
Doing blood squibs and all that kind of stuff.
She was trying to go to get attention and get stabbed. Maybe she has padding around her to handle a stabbing. Yeah. She's anticipating it's not going to be a throat cut because the waif would want to punish her.
Right.
And then she's leading a blood trail for her to follow.
Hmm.
Maybe. I don't know that I buy that theory.
Here's the other one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other one's also really interesting.
Yep. Right.
What have we been seeing about the faceless men and the faceless men and their whole thing?
What do you mean?
They can change how they look.
Yeah. Right.
How do we know that Arya is Arya?
No.
I don't know.
That's a lot.
Wait,
that's a lot. So who would it be, number one? And number two?
The faceless man. It would be Jockin.
Yeah, but then
Jockin pretending to be her.
But then why would that make no sense?
No.
That doesn't make any sense.
The way her hair is pulled back, there's speculation that he actually passes another person that might have been Arya in the background, and he's trying to do this to flush out Waif to test her.
That's a lot for...
I'm not buying either one of these theories.
That's a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, the second one...
Everyone's...
I'm more about
there's
the A theory.
There's something fishy going
B.
on about it.
Here's what I think.
It doesn't seem like her... Why'd she leave her sword? Why is she being public about, like...
Did she leave her sword?
No.
She didn't have needle, did she?
She did. It's just she couldn't get it.
Did she have needle on her?
She came up behind and it was really quick. She jumped.
I don't remember seeing it on her.
She had her sword on her.
Maybe she didn't. I could have swore she had it.
Where did she get all that money? She didn't have any money. How'd she have money all of a sudden?
Well, that's a different question. I don't know where the money is.
There's a lot of weird things about it all of a sudden. It was like she went to bed with a sword tucked under her pillow and being super paranoid. And then she's just kind of strutting around and grabbing a boat.
I don't know. Maybe. It seems crazy to me. But it seems
with a bunch of shapeshifters.
Yeah.
This is ripe for something else going on.
It's also not necessarily crazier than Arya being stabbed that hard and surviving it. So I don't know.
She taped pig blood all around her vest.
I don't know. That seems to be a lot.
I don't know.
I think... I do wonder about her wandering the streets. Who's going to find her?
Yeah,
but who's going to find her? Who helps her out or whatever? Yeah. But
well, that we only have like one real friend we know. Friend. It's the actress lady who plays... Right.
But she's supposed to be... I thought she left the city. I guess she hasn't left.
She's working on it.
She's working on getting out of the city. So... Yeah,
she just kind of narked on the poisoning the day before.
But I can't see her going, because if the many-faced god wants that woman dead, the many-faced god will send Waif, you know? So why would, you know?
I think there's a lot better way for them to reveal it than what the wild speculation is.
Yeah,
I'm eager to see what next week is, especially since next week is called No One.
Yeah.
So it's about Arya.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So next week is episode 8, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So episode 9, which is going to be coming in 2 weeks, will definitely be a bunch of battles.
Episode 9 and episode 10 are both directed by the guy who did Hard Home last week.
Right.
Our favorite episode.
Yeah. Right.
And you know that next week is going to have Cersei's Mountain going against the Sparrow. If you guys saw the preview.
Yeah, I did. I always watched the preview.
You know what? I usually watch to the end and I think I forgot to watch the previews.
I watch the previews all the time. And didn't
Well, it's that thing that they've been showing. So
I just forgot. I've been watching it because they do the After the Thrones episodes. But they talk to Benioff and Weiss about the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I watch that every week because it's always interesting.
Yeah. And there's a little glimpse of the mountain fighting and just grabbing somebody's face. I'm like, that's just not going to end well for whoever he's fighting.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm still waiting to see how they tie all these things together, and I can't wait to see you know, the Iron People meet with the Dragon Lady. I'm totally forgetting her name.
Daenerys.
Yeah, yeah. And how that happens. And then are they going to meet, and then the uncle's going to find them, and then they all attack at the same time and take the ships.
Yeah,
you
like
know?
All these crossing paths. Like, right. Like if Arya does go back to Westeros,
right.
What's her role? Is she just going to hide in the shadows and be an assassin? Is she right. going to hear word about Sansa and Jon Snow leading right. An army, or that she's going to go and try and join them?
And then what?
Because what's her advantage there? She's obviously a rogue with a vendetta. Does she want to join them?
Right, and then we also, and then how does, you know, what does, how does Littlefinger bring, come back in this? How does Peter Dinklage's character comes back into it?
Not enough Dinklage's season.
Yeah. I still want Arya to kill Cersei. I think she's earned it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know if that is going to happen, but that's what I want.
Arya kills.
I want Cersei. I want Arya to be able to kill Cersei, because Cersei started all of this for her. She didn't get to kill Joffrey. She didn't get to kill a lot of people who are responsible for things that happened to her
Why is Cersei in particular on her list? I forgot.
Cersei's the one who killed she was going to kill her direwolf. But she killed the butcher boy.
Yeah.
She's the one who ordered the hound to kill the butcher boy.
Killed the butcher boy, yeah.
Okay.
So.
And I mean, it's like all the, yeah, because they were.
She didn't know about Bran. It was Joffrey who killed Ned.
Wait. Yeah, she didn't know what happened to Bran.
No, she doesn't.
No one knew, because Bran woke up after.
Yeah. Right. But wait, the only one who knew was Mama Stark.
Catelyn, yeah.
Yeah, she's the only one who knew, and we saw what happened to her. So, it's like, it's interesting because, I'm thinking about, what's that island with the, we haven't been back to the island with the three women yet. With the sisters.
Oh, the Sand Snakes.
We haven't been back there yet.
I don't want to go back. It's not an island, is it?
No, yeah. I don't know. Not an island.
It's just southern country.
Yeah, it's on the
country. I'm glad we haven't seen any Dorne. I'm good to not see any Dorne.
Yeah, so how does that all... And then how do the where do the White Walkers show up for the great battle? And do they come... Are they fighting in the North Country and they all come? I mean, and then do the dragon... When do they meet with the dragons?
It's,
you know?
It's interesting that... Daenerys and the dragons.
Right.
She's tied to Jorah, and Jorah's tied to the Mormonts, who are now aligned with Jon Snow.
Yeah.
And also Tyrion, who's now tied to Daenerys, is also tied to Sansa, who was his wife at one point. So, like, there's connection there for them to have an alliance.
That would be so weird. And so he'd be against his own brother.
There'd be no point for them to have an alliance unless it's against a massive army of White Walkers. Right?
Yeah. So... Actually, that would be the best thing, is that they all actually have to fight together against the White. I mean, Cersei, the Unsullied, everybody's got to fight against the White Walkers.
What's it gonna take? Teamwork.
That would be so awesome, actually.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, that's a
and then
terrible kid show.
Wait,
yes.
and then Tyrion's the one's got to.
Uh-huh.
Tyrion and Littlefinger are the ones that have to negotiate all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That'd be cool.
All right, well, man, next week is going to be awesome. I just can't wait for next week's episode.
Yeah, when Brienne gets killed.
But that'll also be our farewell final. To Greg. You're not even going to be here to finish off Game of Thrones.
But I'll be able to finish off The Americans next week.
That's true.
Yeah, we'll chat with you.
We'll talk about the end of The Americans. Well, for the season.
For the season.
So anyway, thank you guys for checking it out. Once again, we want to say, if you go over to patreon.com/TVDudes, you guys can check out our political episode, which will be posted shortly after this one goes up. Thank you guys, all of you who are already current patrons, and until next week,
TV Dudes out. And you have best belief that you're gonna build what I don't need. And I know I need to feel relief. And I know you'll never fall, but I believe nothing that I'm told. And I know I need to feel relief. I know I need to feel relief. Take care to tell it just as it was. Take care to tell on me for the boys. I know I need.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast. It is exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and on Twitter at TV Dudes, and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.